Welcome to Are We Where Yet with Johnny Awesome and Tori Black.
All right, welcome everybody to episode 10. Is it episode 10?
I don't know.
Or 11?
God,
or whatever.
I'm terrible at numbers.
It's an episode. Edit that out, Rigo. episode something of the Are We Where Yet podcast. I am your host, Johnny Awesome, and we have Tori Black over here.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. First of all, I just want to say thanks to our partners, Studio Y, Yoga Downtown. You could go over there. They're doing a lot. I think they have a competition online. Did you see any of that?
Competition?
Yeah, like people are doing like yoga posts.
Oh, like a challenge?
Like a challenge, yeah. Ooh. And it was online, so people were submitting a bunch of pictures and stuff of different yoga posts. And I think I saw them actually on the news. They were doing, not paddle boarding, but maybe something like a paddle board on the river. And they were doing yoga on the river on like this board, like a surfboard looking thing.
Oh, that's probably a paddle board. I've been wanting a paddle board.
We should paddle board.
Oh, my God, we're going to paddle board.
Yeah. So seriously, it was on like, I don't know if it was NBC News or whatever. But yeah, I saw it. So anyway, so you can get 25% off if you mention this podcast and you go down there and join, do some yoga and have a good time. And also North End Coffee House. Get 10% off your coffee or a free cookie. So that's always great. But anyway, we're going to get right into it. And this is episode something. And our guest is Zeta. Right?
Yes, Zeta.
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 Zeta. And we were talking in the elevator. It means?
Fortunate one.
Fortunate one. In Arabic?
It's Arabic. Its origin is Arabic, yes.
Okay, but then you don't know if there's any Arabic or Middle Eastern in your blood. But
no.
Your maiden name, you said, was?
Berea.
Which is from?
It's a place in Jordan.
Yeah, so you got it all going on there. Yeah. You just got to figure it out. Get one of those little DNA tests going on. But anyway, so the way we came across each other was after we recorded the last podcast that we did with Russ Clark. I was talking about in that podcast. Remember, I was talking about I had to go speak somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So it was a speaking engagement that I had, and it was cool. It was more of a sit down little, there was wine and there was some, crackers and cheese. Yeah. And it was more of a kickback event, and Russ actually showed up.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Russ showed up to the event. So it was pretty cool. And she came in and Zeta was sitting at the end of the table, very quiet the whole time. Cause it was the discussion. Mm. So I'm like, who is this? What is she? Does she need help finding a significant other on social media? Because that's kind of what we were talking about.
Oh.
And then at the end, the host of the event says, well, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes.
And so it was kind of like surprise. She was like a secret agent at the end, which I'm glad because I didn't know the whole time. I would have been nervous. But anyway, you have your own... I don't know what you would want to call it, ministry. What do you call it? What is it?
I want to say passion. I work with women. I have a women's group where we work on developing ourselves spiritually, mentally, physically, really working on all areas of our lives, and specifically targeting the area of dating and relationships.
Okay, so here I am. I'm this novice speaking at this event, and she has this whole organization around this thing.
Right.
So it was cool. I'm glad I didn't know to the end, but it was interesting because you had said or agreed with some of the things that I was saying, and I tell the different guys that I work with.
Yes.
And that's kind of how we got to talking afterwards. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was about... I tell these guys that I'm working with, people come to me for a type of counseling. And the only thing, I guess, that would make me legitimate for it is because I've been through a bunch of crap, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I saw a post that it says, hurt people, healed people, heal people. So through my journey of being healed, I want to help heal people.
Yes.
So that's just kind of what I think gives me the authority to talk to somebody. So anyway, I talked to these guys, and there's guys that are looking for a significant other. They're looking for that woman in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, you need to make some room.
Yes.
Make some room for them. So what's your take on that?
You know, when I was sitting there that evening and I was listening to you speak and share how you counsel these men, it was very inspiring. And to me, I thought, like, wow, this is great. I'm so glad that I'm hearing this because I want to be able to tell my women, like, hey, you know, there's men out there that are putting in the work, that are putting in the time, because they also want to be in a loving relationship with a high quality woman. And so it was very encouraging to know that there's men out there who have a similar goal and who are focused on bettering themselves because they want to be their very best. Authentically, they want to be their very best and give their 100%, just as these women are going to be authentic and give their 100% in their relationship.
So you have these women, they contact you. First of all, let's say the name of it. What's the name of it?
My page is called Dynasty of Beauty.
Okay.
And so that's where I share a little bit about just some tips, or sometimes it's based on how to get past hurts, anything from the past, how to embrace healing, all of those things. Because my main focus is for each woman to see themselves worthy of love, to be love, mm-hmm. most importantly. And then from there, it naturally flows, and that's how you attract great men. Because that's seeping just out of your pores. It's who you are as a person. You're developing your inner beauty.
So it's, yeah, like you said, it's who you are. And
yes.
So one of the big things that I've learned, because I've learned about the law of attraction very early on in my life, The Secret, things like that, and I love them. But one of the things I didn't learn till later, it's not about attracting what you want. It's about attracting who you are. And that's the way it really works. Like attracts yes. like. So you can't fake the funk.
Right.
You can't fake it. Because if you fake it, then you're just going to attract somebody that's faking it.
Correct. Mm.
So it looks good on the outside because you look good on the outside. But if it's not deep in the core of who you are, then you're just continuing to perpetuate this fakeness. And they're doing it on the other side.
Correct.
So that's how you get catfished. You
yes.
know,
mm-hmm.
to have
right.
that reference. Because mm-hmm. it really is. So if you don't live it down to the... where nobody sees at your house, where there's no audience, then
right.
you're not where you need to be. You're
exactly.
Not. So you teach these women how to be that at home.
Yes.
So explain that a little bit.
Well, when I say to be that at home, I've talked about the pie, right? Where you have all areas, your relationships, finances, career, exercising, health, and all of that good stuff. So it's taking all of those different parts of the pie that makes you whole and working on each one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we first work on your intellectual, start learning more about just any interest that you have, and then going deeper into heart matters, you know, how to embrace healing or anything that there's a struggle in. And then going from there, after mind, heart, and then your body. Now you're starting to invest in yourself, maybe walking every day or getting in an exercise program where there's accountability, where you're really developing yourself first. And then from there, okay, now let's go into other things like relationships with your family. So it's really taking that whole piece, that wholeness of what makes you you, and really prioritizing so that you can be the better version or the best of who you are, who you're always meant to be.
Be the best you.
Yes.
Okay. And so now you're a Christian, correct?
Yes.
I saw your page. And the thing, I grew up in Christianity, typical Western Christianity. And one of the things that they would always say is that in the end times, people will be lovers of themselves. And mm-hmm. so that was always looked at like a bad thing. Like if you love yourself, like, ooh, that's bad. And like you always got to put yourself last and you mm-hmm. got to put other people first. That's kind of what I was taught in Christianity. But then it was like later on in life, I'm like, that's wrong. That's mm-hmm. incorrect, because if you don't take care of yourself, then you have no well to pour out of. That first okay. and foremost, you do have to love yourself. You do have to take care of yourself. And out of that abundance, then everything else flows.
Correct.
You would agree.
Yes. And then also when you say, you know, and I'm not sure how it goes, but in the end of times, people will love themselves. That almost comes from a selfish point of view, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're just doing things for yourself. But in this case, it's really you're pouring into yourself because you want to be able to give of your best to others. So ultimately, you are still mm-hmm. giving. You're still giving of your very best. So I can agree with you on that, that it's about giving.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary. It still doesn't. I don't see it as you're just loving yourself and being.
Okay, so
selfish.
You know, I'm just bringing that up for conversation.
Yes.
Because a lot of people still struggle with that. You know, mm-hmm. actually, there was a sermon preached at a church here, and it's about how to bring joy, or I think it was joy. And they kind of used the three-part sermon, and the first one was like, you got to put Jesus first, and then the second, you got to put others first, and then the third, you got to put you last, which is like. That kind of sounds good to me for a sermon, but no, I don't think it works that way. Mm-hmm. I think if you put yourself last, that you have no, you're empty by that point, and there's no well to be able to draw from.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to really put yourself first. Now, in putting yourself first, you know that you're that well.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't talk about the scriptures where Jesus went away from the crowd to be by himself to kind of replenish that well. It's all through the Bible.
Yes.
Where it's like the disciples are like, let's go this way. And Jesus is like, no, I'm gonna go this way. I'm gonna go do this.
Yes.
It's like, but all the people are over there. And
correct.
They didn't understand. It's like, no, you got to take care of this well. So you would agree?
Yes.
Okay, so explain.
So then going back to taking care of your well, one of the things that I did share, actually, something about wells, and in the story, there was a gentleman, in the Bible, there's a story about, I believe it was, I don't know if it was Abraham, but it was one who went to the wells that the fathers had before, and they were, like, covered.
Yeah, it was Abraham and his son, yeah.
So, to me, that was very, an eye-opener, because I thought, you know, these wells were there, but they were covered. And so, he went and he set up shop because he was going to be there for a couple of days. So, in those days, he was working on opening up the well, digging up all of the things that were in that well that made it, that was dry. And to me, that was a revelation of, you know, we have to take time aside to set up shop, because sometimes it's going to take a little longer, but it's about digging, getting that dirt out of that well, getting, breaking ground. Sometimes there's going to be big boulders in there that you have to really break through to be able to get deep and be able to draw water out. Once you have dug deep enough and really taking things out of your life that do not belong there, that are only going to impede you from being that well, now you can go ahead and be that well for others. Now you can be that living, that refreshing water that others can come and be able to enjoy and be able to be encouraged or feel like, okay, you know, I'm able to do this because someone else had gone through the same thing that I'm going through right now, and I just need a little bit of drink of water so that I too can set up shop at that well.
Exactly.
And do the work.
Exactly. And yeah, and in that story, it's a pretty cool story, because those wells were put there by Abraham, Isaac's father, and then he went and visited him later, so he got to have like the benefit of somebody that went before him and laid these wells. And
yes.
and in the story, he went from well to well to well, and people kind of chased him away from each of these wells, like, no, that's on my land. And then he left. Well, it's okay. My father, one of his scriptures says, it's all right. My father has many wells. I'll
yes.
leave. And he kind of left these wells to these other people. And they're like, well, where is he going? He's not fighting for this well, but he has so much faith. He knows, like, no, I can go anywhere.
Yes.
And so then they came back to him and they said, surely God is with this man.
Correct.
They ended up finding him. So yeah, that's mm-hmm. it's great. And so you said digging in the well is digging in yourself and making room.
Yes.
So we're taught that. No, you just have to give now. Or kind of like the general consensus is like, you need to go out and do stuff nice for people now. But then that kind of builds like this resentment, because you're doing something nice for somebody else, but you're not even taking care of yourself. You're not taken care of. And so mm-hmm. you're kind of coming from a deficit. You're coming right. from this place of emptiness, trying to give, and you're trying to manufacture something that's not truly giving. It's almost irresponsibility at that point.
Because mm-hmm.
you're not taking care of what needs to be taken. You're not taking care of your own garden, if we want to use that metaphor.
Yes. Okay.
So break that down a little bit. How would you tell this woman to go home, take care of what you have to take care of, and be patient, and the man will come?
Well, what I can say is, first of all, really, you know, I have a conversation of what is it that you see for yourself? What is your love vision? What is it that you want for your life? Oh, you know, I want this, this, and this. Okay. Well, you know.
What are typical things? What is this, this, and this? What is a typical woman? Because the guys that come to me, it's like, I want a woman. That's it. That's all they would say. Like, I need a woman in this house right now. Mm-hmm. The dishes aren't done, you know. I haven't eaten, you know. And I'm being serious. Uh-huh. I'm being real, you know. It's like, no. You go do the dishes. You know, mm-hmm. You go take care of that stuff first. But give me something typical.
Well, okay. So, for example, you know, I would like to be in a committed relationship. With a man who's going to love me and unconditionally and respect me and who's going to treat me, you know, like his queen and things like that. So it all sounds great, and any woman would want a gentleman like that, right? But it does take work. You know, it can't all fall on the guy. Mm-hmm. And for him to do the, treating you nice and loving you unconditionally and all this great stuff, when we ourselves haven't let go of the junk that happened in a previous relationship, because what's going to happen is you're going to bring that into the new relationship. So this guy could be a great guy. He's treating you like his queen. He's doing everything right. But because there's that's something that's still within your heart, there's still hurt within your heart, it's not going to be enough. It will not be enough.
So then it's almost like there's no room to receive it.
Correct.
Because you haven't dug the well inside of your heart. Even if the knight in shining armor, you know, came off of the horse and there to rescue you and do everything that the woman wants the man to do, since there's no room, it mm-hmm. should be blinded to it, in a sense.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, what I say is, let's go ahead and start by, you know, first let's take care of you. First, let's take care of your home. And I share this because this is my own personal journey. Mm-hmm. And because it has worked for me, that's where I'm basing it on, is that it has worked for me, it has helped me, and so that's what I want to share with women, because I have seen it for myself.
Okay. So the healed people heal people.
Yes.
Okay. So we got a little bit of that. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show.
Yes.
So let's talk about your journey. What gives you the credibility to tell these women what to do? When they go home, mm-hmm. you know, okay, go home and you take care of that. Or I saw one thing where you're like speaking to your man's life before he shows up, which I think is excellent. Yes. And we'll get to that. But what gives you the credibility? To give me a little bit of background of who you are and what happened.
Well, my background is I was in a relationship where when you say hurt people, that was definitely the case. There was a lot of hurt. And it began to become more of an emotional and mental abuse for a few years, where statements such as, you know, you are incapable to love. You do not know how to show love. Other things like, you can't show love. Just different things about that, like my ability to be able to love and to express mm-hmm. love. And for a long time, I started believing that. I really started believing that I was broken, like not broken, hurt, but broken, like there was something wrong with me, mm-hmm. that it was unfixable, and that I just didn't know how to love people. And I remember begging and really praying to God, like, God, just give me love. Like, why is it so difficult for me to love? Like, I don't know how to love. And so that was a prayer for a long time. And then after a course of some time, it did become physical abuse. And so after all of that, I just really started reflecting on, is this what I want? Is this something that's going to get better, or is it going to get worse? And at this point in my life, I just thought, you know what? I have to just completely remove myself from this situation.
Okay. So were you married, can I ask? Or was it just like dating?
I was married at one point.
Okay.
Yes, I was married at one point. I did go through a divorce. And so there was a lot of anger and a lot of hurt. But before all of that, my safe place was to completely put up a wall and be without emotion, because I thought that if I did not allow myself to feel, then I wouldn't feel like I was broken. I wouldn't feel like I was incapable to love.
So that was like a defense mechanism. Well, this solves it.
This is
the tools that I have in my tool chest to be able to deal with this situation. I'll stop feeling.
So I became very numb. I even to the point where I couldn't even cry. Like, I couldn't get emotional about anything.
So chick flicks, put it on. You can't cry. You're watching The Notebook or whatever. Not going to do it for you.
No, I couldn't. I was very, very numb.
Okay.
And so that played that was a contributing factor to things not going well, because here I am completely closed off, and that's not going to be good for a relationship. And so when all of that was going on with the divorce and all of that stuff, I also my grandmother had passed away, which was, I was very close to her. I grew up with her. We lived in the same ranch. There were three homes, my parents, my aunts, and my grandma. So we were always there. And so it was a very difficult time for me. And so that was at the beginning of the year. And then towards the end of the year, I lost my grandfather. So that was like just a huge, it just hit me hard within that 1 year. And in the course through that time, I was also, it had already been a couple of years since I was no longer married. And so I had decided, hey, I'm going to give dating a try. I've been, you know, at the time I was still hurt, but I was working on myself already.
So you're working on yourself at
yes.
this point.
I was already like starting to read books about how to embrace healing. Okay.
So let's go into that a little yes. bit. So at that point, all this tragedy is all around. You got this whirlwind of emotion, and mm-hmm. you start to work on yourself. What did you do?
Well, I started reading books on healing and relationships, because okay. I felt that that's something that I needed to read about. And then as I was learning about that, I was still trying to apply some of those things the best that I could, like mm-hmm. from the book.
Yeah, yeah, that's where you start. That's mm-hmm. fine. So, books and Audible. I think you had Audible too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was doing that and taking notes. I like taking notes. It really helps me to understand and learn whatever I'm reading about or listening to. And then I would go back, and then I would try to, okay, you know, this is what I learned today. How can I apply this to my life? And then I would make a note. Oh, I'm going to do this, or
wow.
I'm going to start exercising, or I'm going to start, I'm going to go back to school, you know, things like that. So I did through that time as well. I went back to school to get my master's. I was exercising and eating well and doing those things for myself, but I was still not ready to date.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a course of time, then that's when I thought, you know, I want to give this dating thing a try. And so
hold on. I just want to stop you real quick, because you said you weren't ready to date.
No.
So how did you know you weren't ready?
I was not ready because I was still angry.
I was
angry at God.
Okay.
I was angry because I felt that there was a lot of injustice
done to you.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was still in that place of that dark place. I just didn't like who I was at that time. So I knew that I was not ready to be in a relationship because I was still not happy.
So why? What does that mean? You weren't happy. You know what I mean? Because I know a lot of people mm-hmm. that are willing to drag another person into their unhappy situation. But what was different about you that you know, like, no, I can't bring somebody into this situation. Like, I can't bring somebody into this tent, into this house, into my situation. Like, where's that difference lie to you?
Because since I came from a place where I felt like I was unworthy, I was unfixable, I needed to make sure that whoever came into my life, I did not want to share that same lifestyle, because I did not want to continue that lifestyle of feeling unworthy, of feeling like I was incapable to love. I wanted to be sure for myself that I was in a place where I could love someone.
Okay.
And I still felt like I didn't really know what that meant or how that felt, because I was so numb for a very long time.
Okay, so then that helps give mm-hmm. a little bit of the self-realization of like, no, I'm not ready yet, which I think is huge. Mm-hmm. That is huge because, like I said, a lot of the guys that I've talked to, like even like divorced men or men that are separated at the time or whatever, their number one goal is just to bring the woman back into the house. Just get a woman. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't you see that if you continue to do the same thing you've always done, you're always going to get the same outcome? It's not rocket science, correct. You know? Mm-hmm. If you continue to do that, like unless you really dig down and fix the situation, and the situation always lies within you. Always. The answer is always within. The yes. problem is always within. And unless you plow that ground, it doesn't matter who you have in your home.
Mm-hmm.
You
correct.
Know? So that was big of you to be able to recognize like, no, wait a minute, there's still more plowing to do inside of my heart.
Yes.
So you're doing the plowing, you're reading the books, and now you're like, you know what, I'm ready to date.
Yes, I'm ready to date.
Okay.
But let me rewind a little bit. When I was going through a really hard time where all the death in the family and all of this other stuff, and through the divorce and everything, God had given me a promise. And my promise was that he was going to give me a new heart. A heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And okay. I knew that that was definitely a divine promise for me because my heart was definitely a heart of stone. And at that time I did think, you know, that's way in the, like so far from now. It almost seemed impossible, but I still kept that promise hidden in my journal that one day that okay. that would come to me. So going back to, you said when I felt
you're
like I was
to
ready.
Date.
Date.
You're good to go. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
So then, you know, I started dating and there was this one gentleman that I really, really liked, and he, you know, he seemed so, you know, great. Just like the description of some of the women, they're like, oh, you know, I want him to be, you know, the sweetest guy ever and love me unconditionally. That's how I felt.
Okay.
That's how he made me feel.
Awesome, okay.
And but I was still working on myself, and I was still struggling with some of my own issues. I still felt that unworthiness.
Mm.
So I think that kind of like he could probably sense that, and he was probably not even ready to commit or anything. But I really liked this guy, and he did all the right things. He made me feel amazing, like I was just, you know, this amazing woman, and uh-huh. so of course that's gonna feel great. And
so then
that's
your confidence
really
is going up though.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. And then but just something within me, like even when I was continuing reading and I was listening to a couple of coaches, like, you know, more like the ones that have been doing this for years, they're experts, they know what they're talking about. I was listening to a few of these, and you know, they were talking about how, you know, some of the things to look for to see if whether this guy is really committed or not. And, you know, I'm thinking like, man, it seems like really wishy-washy. You know, it's always just going up and down. There's no consistency. He doesn't hold up to what he says he's going to do. So all of those things, there were red flags, and I knew it.
You knew it because you knew inside of yourself what red flags look like at this point, right?
Yes.
You're like, I'm not going to settle for this. This is non-negotiable.
Right. And, you know, It was very difficult to let go, but I had to make that decision. I had to make the decision of, okay, Zeta, do you want real love? Do you want to be in a fulfilling relationship? Or do you want what you have right now, where everything, you feel great, you feel like you're on top of the world, but it's only for a moment because it doesn't even look like it's consistent,
mm-hmm.
you know? And It could be so easy to just say, you know what, I'm going to take what I can get right now. This is great. I'm feeling great. But it's not going to serve me for the long term. It's not going to be a great relationship in the long term. And so I kindly said, you know, I don't see this going anywhere. It seems to me that there's other priorities. And so I think it's, you know, it's best if we don't see each other anymore. I said it something like that, but it was very hard because I didn't want to. I did not want to stop seeing this guy, but I
made you feel good.
Yes.
The endorphins are going, serotonin's flowing,
and
you
he's
know.
Hot.
Yeah, he's hot, right? Yeah. So all these things, so let's stay here for a minute, okay? Because so the red flags are there, right?
Yes.
One of the things I tell my guys to do is write down those red flags. If you see them,
great.
I tell them write them down. Mm-hmm. Whatever you don't like, write them down. I don't know if they do it or not, but I tell them, right? And the next thing is I say, and here's, I don't know where you're going with this story, but this is what I tell people, tell them. Some of the people in your life are there for you to practice saying no.
Yes, that's so true. That is so true.
Because it's like, oh, look at this person. It's everything. This is it. But could that be practice to say no to? Could that opportunity, that thing that looks like it's the oasis in the desert be like, no. This isn't it. And right. So this kind of sounds like that one of those stories.
Yeah. Yes. And like I said, it was very difficult because I didn't want it to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that there was something much greater.
When you say knew, how did you know? Because that sounds like faith to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't really know in like the knowing of a certain sense, but you know in another sense.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I just felt really just this conviction within my heart that my desire was so strong to be in a fulfilling, you know, a committed relationship where it was very genuine and pure, that giving of the purest form of love, which is, you know, putting others first in a sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And giving your very best. I wanted that. And I wanted that so strongly. That was a strong, strong desire that even what I had at the time, I knew that it was not going to compare to the strong desire that I had within myself. And because of that, I knew I had to let go, because if I was feeling that desire so deep within my heart, then it was meant for me. And at that time, mm-hmm. that was not going to be what I desired
in
the long term.
And then you have this person who's a person on the other side, made in the image of God, just like you. And if you wouldn't have followed that, you would have took this other person into a situation that you weren't completely happy with.
Correct.
You would have brought them down.
Mm-hmm.
You would have. You could have tried to make it work, but in that trying to make it work, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to them. And why would you want to do that to somebody?
Correct.
Right?
Yes. And you know, when I said that, it was actually through text, which I don't recommend.
Oh, wow.
But
so this, when you write a book, that part like is not going to be step two. Like no,
send a text. No, you don't want to do that.
Okay.
But what was really hurtful is, you know, he did reply and he was like, okay, you know, I understand, and it's just taking me a long time to figure out what I want. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that it was coming from a sincere place. Like, he really did not know what he wanted, and that was it. And to me that was even more hurtful, because I thought, like, you know, it was so easily like just like, oh, okay, you know. So that right there was what I call my turning point. All of these other things that happened, yes, they were hurtful, they were tragic, but what really made that turning point for me was when I ended things, or yes, when that happened with that one gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I was hurt badly.
But you kind of did it to yourself in a
yes.
good way.
Yes.
Okay, so what happens after that?
So I was very, very hurt, where I remember driving by myself in the car and going like out to the counties somewhere where there's nobody around. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs because I felt like I had to just let it all out. And I was in such turmoil and a lot of pain, like to the point where even like my whole being, I felt like my stomach, everything, all of me was in a lot of pain. And when I found myself at that moment experiencing all of that pain, that's when I realized God gave me a new heart.
Mm.
My heart is not a heart of stone anymore, because before I could not feel a thing. I couldn't even cry. And here I am screaming at the top of my lungs, so upset, so hurt, all kinds of emotions, sadness, and all of this stuff. And then I thought, like, oh my gosh,
wow.
I have a new heart, and I'm feeling everything.
Felt wow. it all.
Yes.
So this promise came and camouflaged in pain.
Yes.
Wow.
And so from then on, I knew it was going to take time for me to be able to get over that hurt and everything else. But I was also glad that my heart was now able to feel. And boy, did it feel everything, everything. But it was just, that was a big turning point for me.
So here you are in the car screaming, looking like a crazy person, which I think is totally cool because mm-hmm. it's part of healing. Yes. You have to allow yourself to do that, and that's okay. The counties is a perfect place to do it. I've done it there. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have done it there. Mm-hmm. So now you feel everything. What do you do next?
Well, then I began to, you know, when you said, you know, where that sermon where it was stated in the second step to serve others. Or mm-hmm. to help others, and then yourself. Yeah. At that point in my life, I felt like I didn't have anything to give.
Mm-hmm.
I was completely a dry well.
And that's a good place to be self-aware.
Mm-hmm. And so what I started doing is, in all that hurt, I thought, I feel so hurt and so lonely, but how can I give of myself while I heal? And from mm-hmm. there, that's when I started visiting some of the women in the nursing homes. That probably don't get a lot of visits. They probably don't feel as beautiful as they are truly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started going with the church, and once a month they would go and they would paint the nails of the little old ladies there and make them look beautiful and spend time talking with them and things like that. And so I started doing that because I knew that I was not going to stay home and just feel sorry for myself. And at the time, since I couldn't give fully of myself because I had nothing, I decided, you know, I'm going to be part of a group that's doing something, that's giving
yes.
something, and then go from there. And so I started doing that, and I developed a friendship with a lady there who later invited me to her room, and she wanted to read all these different poems that she wrote. So it was just it was a good time for me to just listen to others and just allow them to be themselves and share what their likes are and things like that.
So you were serving.
I was serving.
Which is different than putting others first, because serving, I don't want to get that mixed up.
Okay.
Because serving is different than putting others first. Putting mm-hmm. others first means that there's a deficit in yourself. Serving, mm-hmm. as Jesus says, is the greatest among you is the servant. So
okay,
you're
yes.
actually, you're creating this healing process for both of you while you're serving.
Yes.
Which is a different thing. Mm. You're self-aware of your deficit. You're aware of theirs. And then together, you guys are communing in this healing process.
Yes.
So I guess the best way to put it is being self-aware of the deficit that you have in yourself and then mm-hmm. going to serve. Because I'm totally for that. What
yes.
you did, you served. And the greatest among you is a servant. The mm-hmm. servant is always the leader. Jesus was the last, and he made him first because serving. Even when he told Peter, like, no, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter's like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, we came to wash. You're the King of Kings. You're this
right.
and that. It's like, no, you don't understand the way this works. And then John the Baptist, like, no, 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 you should be baptizing me. No, 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 you don't understand the way this works.
Correct.
So here we are. So you're polishing the nails of these little old ladies mm-hmm. in this old folks home or whatever, and you're yes. receiving a healing as well, I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so then after that, again, here we are, December, that's when it happened. January, it was like another big wave coming. And again, I felt like that really dark time again. And it was just, you know, it would come and go because I was still going through that healing process. And I remember I reached out to one of the elders at the church, this lovely lady, and I was telling her, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just feel like I'm drowning at this point. I'm overwhelmed with emotions. I'm sorry. And she said, you know, I see you, Zeta, and I see that you're at a cliff, and you have to make a decision whether you're going to hang on and continue going or if you're just going to allow yourself to fall in that mm-hmm. pit. Because, yes, you can feel all emotions, but are you going to fall in that pit of just wallowing in it and just, you know, just feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you going to decide, I'm going to hang on and continue this journey? And that was so, you know, that really helped. And so what I decided to do was, you know, I'm going to take it a step further and I'm going to help other women. I'm going to start a group, and I'm going to give myself a book, and we're going to study this book together about being single and about healing and how to be able to get out of that pit before even considering to be in a relationship.
There you go.
And so I did. I spoke with her and I said, would you be willing to open your home for us to do this? And, she was very happy to do so. And so little by little, it started with two others. And then that group grew into four and then into eight. And then, at one point we had 10 women in there and they were all reading this one book, and we would meet weekly and we would learn about, what are some things, practical things not to do when the relationship has just ended. Okay, one, don't go on social media and be, looking to see what is going on in his life. You are done. You cannot go back and continue hurting yourself that way. All kinds of different things. And so through that, it really, again, it helped my healing journey, because now I would study whatever chapter we were going to be talking about that evening. I would study it, and I would prepare questions, because it doesn't come with the study guide. So I would prepare questions for us women to discuss, what do you think about this, and how can you apply this to your life today, or what's the next action step? So I would try to have like an action step to each of the chapters that we were doing, so that way it was more applicable to our lives than just reading a book. And through that is where I really started that building that momentum, like, okay, I'm feeling better. Like, my healing is coming because I'm no longer so focused on the problem at hand, mm-hmm. but I'm just really focusing on how can I help these women? What can I do? Or sometimes they would come to me and say, hey, would you pray for me? Because I'm going to, and it had nothing to do with relationships. I'm going to be starting school soon. Can you pray for me?
Awesome.
So it became more of that instead of, men are horrible and, things like that. It was not like that at all. And sometimes, people would ask me like, so what do you talk about that? What do you talk about when you're meeting with these men? Do you talk about men? And we're like, sometimes we do. And they're like, well, what do you guys talk about? Or like, well, we don't talk anything negatively about men. Like, that's not the focus.
Thank you. On behalf of me and Rigo over here, thank you.
Uh-huh. Oh.
No, go ahead.
So I just wanted to make sure that it stayed positive, that we were not going to focus on the negative experiences with men, but we were going to really learn what love really is. And that's when I was taking everything that had to do with love. And even in that, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, and it talks about what love is, mm-hmm. love is patient and all those things. And
love is kind.
Yes. And for me, I really liked that verse, and I thought, this verse is mine, and this is what I'm going to base my relationship on. Sometimes, I would get upset about something, or my mind would start wondering, like, oh my gosh, this looks so similar to what I went through last time. But then I'd be like, wait a minute, am I being patient? Am I being kind?
Ooh, am I being... You just said, am I?
Mm-hmm. And
not
so then...
as he.
Correct, because I had to really keep my thoughts in check to see, okay, am I doing this because I'm trying to get something out of this, or is it because I'm truly believing that love is kind, that love is patient? It was the first one. Am I being patient, or am I trying to rush into this relationship because I want a boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that verse for me was a way to really keep myself focused. On my motives.
To chickadee check yourself before you wreck yourself, right?
Yes.
Right? There you
go.
So you have this verse. And, so here's the thing. My mentor throughout this whole time, I went through a bad situation. One of the things he would tell me is, like, I could see men sitting in front of you, men coming to you, and you be this well that they could draw from. He would tell me that. And so I could see how that's helped you, having these women around you and part of this healing journey that you were on.
Yes.
Because it gave you a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But while you were feeling this well to help others to be able to partake, you were actually literally feeling this well.
Yes.
And so it served a purpose, so that's a beautiful thing. And then you were self-aware. I love that you just said, am I being patient? Am I being kind? Because that's huge.
Yes.
Everybody is always focused on outside, what's going on here politically or whatever, trying to always check the temperature outside, but never check the temperature inside.
Correct.
So.
And so then, I started still dating, and, but it was more with the mindset of, instead of dating, like, is this the one, what is it? Knight in shining armor?
Yeah.
Yes. Instead of thinking that way, I was thinking like, okay, you know, here's an opportunity to get to know another gentleman and for him to know what I'm all about. And then, but you know, like sometimes just things, like either I just did not see that this was going to go anywhere, or I wasn't like really attracted to the gentleman, or whatever the case may be. But I knew, like, okay, from this experience, what did I learn? Well, I learned that I'm highly valuable, and that, I'm going to give you an example. Going back to the Heart of Stone, I went up on a hike with a friend, and when I was up there at the top of the telegraph, I remember I looked over and there was a rock, and it was the shape of a heart. Like, it was so perfectly shaped like a rock. And to me, that was just like, you know, that's, God is so mindful. Like, even when I'm out and doing whatever, like, he gives me reminders like, oh, I got you. Like, you had a heart of stone and I gave you a new heart. And awesome. Embrace this experience. And so I remember I saw the heart and I was like, oh, you know, look at the rock. And I was so excited about this heart, the rock. And my intent was to bring it back with me, and I forgot it. And then, like, I was already like, you know, we already at the bottom of Telegraph Pass and all this other stuff. And I thought, oh, I remember, I was like, the rock. I was so, you know, I was so disappointed. Like, I can't believe I forgot the rock. Well, I just let it be. And about 2 weeks later, this guy that went up to Telegraph, he brought the rock back. I don't know when he went up there to go get the rock and brought it back. And he said, hey, I have something for you. And so he brings out this rock. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, it revealed to me that, you know, God was saying, you're so valuable and so special that even men will go up mountains for you. Whether, you know, this gentleman was just a friend, but what I'm saying is,
it revealed to you who you are.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes. And so with that, you know, every experience, you know, whether it was just a one day or whatever, it was, okay, what did I learn about myself? Oh, I learned that, you know, I am important to someone, and they're, you know, men are mindful of my well-being. You know, here I am going to meet this gentleman at a restaurant, but he paid valet parking, so I wouldn't have to park really far and have to walk in heels in the, you know, in a town where I'm not too familiar, and it's already evening. So I thought, wow, you know. Then I started learning, hey, men are mindful of my well-being. Men listen to things that are important to me, because this gentleman went all the way up to this mountain to get that rock for me because he saw how much it meant to me. So then I started looking at things that way, like, what are some good qualities in men, instead of being in the mindset of men are horrible and they hurt people, or they're selfish. It was looking more at men, what are some of the qualities that they have. So
then you did that, and now you teach your women that are part of your class or
yes,
that go to your Facebook page to do this. So one of the big things that I wanted to get back to was I saw that you started to have them speak good things into the life of their men, but they don't even have a man yet.
Correct.
Break that down for me.
Okay. So let's say that you have a deep desire. You want to be in a committed relationship with this amazing guy that you have in mind, right? Or what qualities you would like for this gentleman to have. Well, instead of necessarily looking for those things, you are now speaking those things into existence. You are speaking life into that gentleman, even if you've never met him, because then your focus is going to be on that relationship, that gentleman that one day will be part of your life, versus your focus being, is this the guy for me? Is this the guy for me? And so focused on that outcome rather than the outcome of being in an amazing, fulfilling relationship. So it's bringing that focus to the guy that you desire, the gentleman that you desire. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, you speak daily. So the challenge was for a month, you speak daily affirmations to this guy. And so, you know, but it's really like with so much conviction. And that's because I did it. I did it.
You did it.
I did it. I was speaking
life. This is something you created?
Yes.
In a sense. Okay.
Yes, where I did it for myself. I was speaking life into existence to the man that I was going to meet. Mm-hmm. And that I would be in a committed relationship with. I would say things like, you know, you are a great leader. And sometimes, and I would wake up in the morning and I would just say that out, you know, as I'm looking out the window, because I had that like faith within myself that those words, they were going to reach him. Wherever he is, those words are going to reach him. Maybe he's waking up that morning, looking out the window and feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm a failure.
How am I going to face the day?
Yes. And here are these words coming towards him and saying, no, you are a leader.
You're being his cheerleader already.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. And that's what I was doing on a daily basis. And so that's what the challenge was. I was like, you know, speak life into these men, into the man of your dreams. So every day was a new affirmation. You are a great leader. You are a man of integrity. You are generous. You are compassionate. Different things like that. Just whatever. And I said, you know, you can take the daily affirmations that I'm posting on there and claiming those as the ones that you want to say to your guy, or you can come up with your own, but speak life into him.
Which is a hard thing for people to do, right? Because mm-hmm. it defies all logic. It defies what we normally think. You know, we think we need to get to Tinder or whatever and, you know, create a profile and, you know, put the best picture of us, take a selfie and put the best. And that's what we need to do to attract the right person. That's the mm-hmm. day and age we live in. So you're kind of talking this whole other like Harry Potter stuff that, you know.
Speaking to the wind.
Right? Speaking to the wind, yes. And this whole thing, which, you know. It's interesting to me because it's in the Bible. It's all throughout mm-hmm. the Bible that to me, I actually read the Bible like, yes. like I'm in Harry Potter. So that's like, to me, this is the book of like, I hate to use the word spells, but it's almost like that because it's like, if you read it, like you mm-hmm. read what Elisha did with the three kings of Israel kind of came to him like, you know, like, hey, we're dying out here. We're going to be slaves to these other people. They're going to come and destroy us. They're stuck in this valley. And they all recognized it. They became self-aware, the king of Israel, king of Judah, and I forget the other king. And they said, we need to find a man of God, somebody that knows how to work with God. And so they find Elisha, and Elisha says, go into the valley and dig a bunch of ditches. He tells him, I think it's 2 Kings 3:16, mm-hmm. go into the valley and dig a bunch of ditches, and then God was going to bring in the water to feed your armies and to give them drink because they were dying, literally mm-hmm. dying in this valley. And so they had to have enough faith to be able to go in there and tell their people, start digging ditches because God is going to bring some water. And it says, even in that scripture, it says it very specifically, you won't see any clouds, you won't see any signs of rain, mm-hmm. then none of these things that you are looking for are going to be there, but you need to go dig. Prepare this valley for water.
Yes.
And so how crazy is this, that these kings are going to have to tell their people, all right, go into the valley and start digging a ditch because the rain is coming. And the whole time they're digging, they're looking up, and nothing.
There's nothing.
It says not even a wind came. So no sign. And then so they do this thing. They create, do their sacrifices. And the next day they wake up, the valley is full of water.
Yes.
So it's all throughout the Bible, these little things. To mm-hmm. me, a Bible is just like a nature book. It's telling you how to work with nature, this universe that you're living in, to how to have a relationship with it. Which is kind of interesting because these were three kings. And we think the king is like, that's the final authority.
Correct.
But these three guys that are the final authority said, yeah, we don't know what we're doing. Go find somebody that knows how to talk to God mm-hmm. and bring them over here because we need some.
Yes.
And immediately after that was the story of Elisha and the widow. And the widow, she yes. was like, she had nothing. And so Elisha said, well, what do you have? She's like, well, I have nothing. No, you have something. What do you have? Well, I have these cups. So, okay, whatever cups you have, however many cups you have, will be filled with oil.
Yes.
And if you continue to have cups, you will continue to have oil. So you could sell this oil. So she got cups. She went to her neighbor's house, got cups, and God was continuing to fill this oil up in these cups because oil was used very like as currency. You could trade it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she, as soon as she stopped bringing the cups, the oil stopped. Mm-hmm. She could have ran to a neighbor's neighbor, to a baby's mama, whatever. Yes. She could have went anywhere she wanted and filled these cups up. So that's the picture to me of life today. Mm-hmm. That's not stopping because it's Old Testament, New Testament. That's just life and the way life works. So mm-hmm. here you are, again, looking like a crazy person, talking to some guy that doesn't exist outside of your window, but you have the faith that he's listening.
Yes.
So did he listen?
Yes, I believe that those words reached him and continue to reach him, because I still do practice that. I still do speak life into that gentleman.
Okay, so do you have somebody now or
no? I do.
Oh, you do?
I do. Okay. I am in a committed relationship, and I still speak those words of affirmation.
So the guy shows up. So this guy, you're in a relationship, and you still speak them.
Yes, because then I, you know, like I say, I tell God, I say, you know, whether this is the guy, this is the gentleman for me, I'm still going to be speaking life into his life. And if these words are for him, then why am I going to stop, you know? So that's why.
Because that's human nature to stop. Isn't it? Isn't it kind of like we get comfortable? As soon as we get a little comfortable, as soon as we're like, we got what we want, we stop doing what worked.
Correct.
It's like, wait a minute. Why you stop doing what works? I came to the point in my life to where it's like I could make miracles happen in a sense, because I believe in these tendencies, these principles and stuff. But I can only make them happen when I face tragedy. And then I started to think, wait a minute. What if I continue to do them and there's no tragedy? Maybe I can always kind of level up the next time and grow, and then glory to glory, like the Bible says, continue to move forward.
Yes.
And that actually works. You don't need the tragedy. The tragedy is there just to kind of get you off your ass and do something, you know? But it's like, no, that thing, that same thing is always there and always available. So the man comes into your life, if he's the one you're going to marry or not, but you still speak it.
I still speak it, because then I think, you know, what if, you know, a couple of years down the road, you know, he's going through a hard time, and now we're together, we're married. What I spoke 2 years ago could have been the very word that he needed at this moment in time. I'm sowing a seed.
Sowing to the future.
Sowing to the future. And so that's why it doesn't stop me to continue speaking life into my man, because it's going to, it, that does, how does that say the word is, it doesn't return void.
It doesn't
void.
It doesn't return void, yeah.
Correct.
You know, and Paul even says, he says, everything that we see in the visible world, Paul in the Bible, the one that wrote Corinthians, says, was made from the invisible world. So everything you see is made from the invisible. So what's kind of cool to me is, like, we got a computer right here, right in front of us. Everything that was needed to create this computer was here since day one.
Yes.
Everything we needed to create this computer was here since Adam and Eve, or whoever you want to say was the first people on earth, right here.
Right.
But it needed somebody. It needed an outlet. It needed a Steve Jobs to say, yeah, I kind of have this idea and this vision that we could create this thing. And him pushing for it and not taking no for an answer within himself, within the outer world, and continue to press on and move forward to create this computer.
Yes.
It was there since day one, and he had a vision. Whether it's Tesla, Steve Jobs, Edison, on and on, that's the way life is. It's all from the invisible to visible. And the other thing you said was sowing, right? Sowing to the future. So the law of attraction, the way it works is you attract like attracts like. Well, Jesus kind of even said it, where it's like, why is it a mystery to you? Because you reap what you sow. So whatever you're putting out there is what you're going to get back.
Yes.
It's always the word. But, oh, no, I'm putting out there. Yeah, you might be saying the right things, but what you put out there starts at your heart. This thing is all of life, and your brain waves and electricity. Thoughts are actually things that go out to the universe and send signals. And then those are the signals that come back. Not what you say in a prayer for like 5 minutes in the morning and like, okay, I'm good. Now I'm going to go live the rest of the day like, I just forgot what I said in a prayer. No, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So how do you do that? It's who you are.
Yes.
And that's what you're reaping. So you're continue to sow into the future. Is this the guy that took you to Hawaii? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because that's pretty cool to me.
Yes.
Because I saw your, after we talked, I went on your Facebook page and you went to Hawaii?
Yes, we went to the Big Island.
Okay.
And it was just an amazing experience. That's where, you know, all the media of the volcano is on that. It's on that island.
Okay.
So it was really, it was an amazing experience. We went up to Mauna Kea, which is the tallest volcano on that island. And it was above the clouds. You can see 100% of the northern hemisphere of the constellations, 80% of the southern hemisphere. So, I mean, you had just an incredible view of the heavens,
wow,
if you will. And it was just, it was an amazing experience.
So because you believed, you continue to speak these things into life. Now this girl that was once at one time, at least in her own mind, incapable of loving and yes, receiving love, mm-hmm, is now on the tallest mountain volcano, yes, that is in Hawaii with this man that she spoke into existence.
Yes. That's what it, yeah. And then, and at that moment too, I felt like God was giving me another wink, saying, I got you, you know, mm-hmm, you probably never, and I never even imagined that I would be at the, you know, top of this tall mountain, being able to see all the stars and at the same time be like in really cold temperatures and see the volcano below and all this stuff. And I thought like, God totally, like when he shows you, like he doesn't just give you the desires of your heart, but he goes above and beyond
above
what
and
you
beyond
even imagined. So yeah, that was definitely a wink.
So you're on top of the volcano, you're getting this. And mm-hmm, I think the way I would like to put it is that not that God did it, but you partnered with God. Mm-hmm. To me, that's how it works. To me, life is a dance. It's a dance with God, but like unless you move your foot backwards or forward, there's mm-hmm, no place for God's foot to go. And you're just kind of at the standstill. But if, yes, you know, if you have your dance with somebody, you got to move, and this rhythm and this whole cadence begins mm-hmm to build, and this energy begins to build. And so now God has something to work with because,
yes,
you're moving. So I think you got yourself onto that mountain because mm-hmm you just decided, you know what, God, let's dance.
Yes.
Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, I was jealous. I saw the pictures and I think like a stingray or something. There was like,
oh, yes. Uh-huh. That was really cool too.
And you have some video of it on your Facebook, mm-hmm, which I was like, that's, yes, super cool. Now I want to manifest a man to take me to Hawaii, you know?
Yes.
Because it's like, oh my goodness, it works.
It does.
It literally works. Mm-hmm. And you're nobody, how do I put this? You're no more special than anybody in this whole room, in this whole library where we're recording.
Correct.
There's nothing different about you than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you've done, they could all do too, right?
Yes.
Anybody listening to this thing?
Yep, anybody.
Could do it.
Yes.
Why don't they do it?
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's probably too easy, you know, to just say, I'm going to speak life into men. Or it might be too hard, too much work. You know, one of the things that you said earlier, I was talking about the kings, and the Elijah was the one,
yeah,
that said,
Elijah,
go dig those trenches, mm-hmm, right? And there's no sign of anything, right? And another step that I took upon myself was to clean out my home.
Mm.
Clean out my home and make room. And I had this tiny little two-bedroom apartment, and I don't know how in the world I fit so much stuff in there because I was getting rid of a lot of things, and I thought, like, how did I fit all this in a tiny little closet? But I really felt in my heart like I have to make room. I cannot be, you know, I cannot expect for someone to come into my life when I have so much stuff in my closet that I don't even wear. It doesn't serve a purpose in my closet. I'm going to really be strategic of what I even keep in my closet. I'm going to keep things that are purposeful, that I'm going to actually wear in my home. You know, if it's not serving purpose, why keep it? So I narrowed it down to, like, now I only have two pans, like the pans where you can cook eggs on, and one big pot and one little pot. That's
okay.
It. I got rid of all the other things that didn't really, they were just taking up space in my kitchen. So I tell, you know, that was another thing that I shared with women, is you just have to make room. Like you said, you have to make room for more. And sometimes, you know, those things that are just there that are not serving purpose, it's taking up room. Like, there could be an overflow of other new and greater things, but it can't because you have so much stuff. You have so many things within your heart. You know, I had to do some cleaning within my heart in that process. I had to make room. I had to make room on my phone, where I was getting rid of contacts that I no longer needed on my phone.
Mm.
You know, it, even though you're not thinking or you're not going to be intentional about contacting men, mm-hmm. those men or whatever, you still want to make sure that there's no attachment, nothing.
Because that kind of clogs up the airwaves. It kind of clogs this conduit that's supposed to be you receiving from God. There's all this gunk in the middle that's you're kind of holding on to, and you can't fill an already filled cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, God will tell you, well, empty the cup. Like, oh, fill me, Lord, fill me. I've heard people say that over. Like, you got junk in there. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell my men, it's like, well, you know, write down what you want your queen to be. Write down, have this list. And like, here's my list. I got my list. Mm-hmm. And a number of men have done it. But then Hoochie's at their house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like, okay, is Hoochie your queen?
Uh-huh.
Is this your queen right here? Oh, no. She's just here. I'm lonely, and she's going to kick back for a little while. And it's like, oh, okay. Right? But that's clogging the airwaves. That's clogging this because it's like, well, that's... So what if Queen, while Hoochie's here, knocks on your door? What if she shows up? And she's going to take a look inside of your house and see, like, sorry, wrong house. My bad. And go on to the next home.
Yes.
And there it was, because you had no room for this thing that you say you want, but make no room for.
Exactly.
Absolutely no room. And I try to tell people that, and the Bible says you won't see the clouds, you won't see or hear the wind, you just have to do it.
Yes.
And in that faith, that little bitty, itty bitty speck of faith, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw your Facebook page, and you were in Hawaii, and I'm jealous because it works.
It does.
It works.
It does.
For everything, not just manifesting your man or whatever. It really works. One of my favorite authors is this guy, Neville Goddard. I have to give him a plug. He's passed away a long time ago, but if you get into any of his works, he's really big on manifesting what you want in life and this partnership with God and having a real, genuine partnership with God. And it's just, it revolutionized my life learning from this man. I got a lot of lectures. He was from like the 50s and 60s.
Yes.
So the audio is kind of hard to hear. But oh my God, a man of faith that was able to like have the winds obey him. It was like really that powerful thing. And then so it's like, well, no, that's reserved for Jesus. Well, no, Jesus says greater things that you shall do than I have done.
Yes.
You shall do greater things than I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's out of the man's mouth that we all worship, you know, or people say they worship at least.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are, you're doing great things. You made it to that mountain. You made it through all of this. You have a heart of flesh. I've seen it. You were here. Tears were in your eyes because God gave you that promise.
Yes.
How do people find out more about you and to get a hold of you to receive or to even have that encouragement they would need to get that promise?
Well, currently right now I have my Facebook page and Instagram. I started Instagram. I'm not too familiar with it. But so you can go to Facebook and type in Dynasty of Beauty. So it's with a capital D and capital B, because there's another Dynasty of Beauty for facial products or something like that. So it's the one that says Dynasty of Beauty. My picture's on there. And that's where you can take a look at. I post daily affirmations from Monday through Friday to fill your own cup every morning and, you know, get your started off right for the day. And then I also go on there every Wednesday to do a live broadcast on a topic. And since it's summer this week, I spent the mornings doing a live broadcast. This month was all about online dating, and last month was all about manifesting your high quality man. And the previous month was all about healing. So you can find those videos.
So they're available now, and then you're going to continue to put up new videos.
And yes, correct.
Dynasty of Beauty, and hopefully you continue to grow and work with more and more women. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
And like you said, remind those women that I'm out there talking to these knucklehead guys, trying to tell them to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make the room. If you're making dinner at night, make her a plate. Even if she's not sitting on the other side of you, just make her a plate.
Yes.
And then if the food, obviously she's not going to eat it, just go to the library. There's plenty of homeless people there that'll eat it. Just give it to one of them in the faith of like saying, no, this was for her. And then, you know, go give it to like a guy at the library lawn.
Yes.
You know, so I'm telling guys the same thing you're telling women, and that hopefully they find each other, you know, they link up on some way, some form, and that this thing actually works.
It does.
It works. You know, I got to just give a plug to my wife. Like I woke up this morning, I had to do some stuff. I'm really big on, I have a green lawn and I want to keep it green. So this morning I've been trying to, I went through like landscapers and all this and the heartache to try to get somebody to take care of it. And anyway, so I had to go buy the seed myself and the fertilizer myself this morning. And I'm doing all this before I come to the podcast. And I rush home to take a shower before I get here. I go, I take a shower. I come out. The incense is on that I like. The music is on that I like. She's making me food before I come here. It's just like, seriously, I walk out and it's just perfect. It's a perfect platform for me to be able to come here and do what I have to do because I have that cheerleader at home.
That's amazing. Right? Yes.
You know, and that creates that balance in the house, the firm foundation that you can go off and you can do anything if you have that foundation at home. So it is possible.
It is possible.
On both ends. Living testimony. Here it is. So I would suggest, like, Neville Goddard was really big for me. Neville Goddard, Wayne Dyer was another really big one. And do you have any suggestions of reading for anybody?
Yes, I have two suggestions. One of them is a book called Love Lost, Love Found by Tatiana Jerome.
Okay.
And that one's great for women that have just been out of a relationship. Or even if you're just thinking about dating or thinking, I don't want to ever have anything to do with men, this is definitely a book for you too. And then the other book is one, the author is Marie Kondo, and that's the title is kind of long, but it's something like The Japanese Method of Decluttering.
Yeah, you told me about that one. My cousin has that one. Yeah.
Okay, that's a great book, and that book actually was one that I used when I was decluttering my home. And the funny thing about that book is that the gentleman that I'm currently in a relationship with, he had actually read that book. And I was telling him, you know, I feel like I have to, you know, I feel like I have to clean my home and I have to make room. And he's like, you know, you might want to read this book. And so I grabbed that book and it was just like the perfect for what I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate clutter now. I try to get rid of things constantly, you know, and I just at the practice now today of making room for new things, better things. That's a continual. I look for things to throw away now because it's like, how is this supposed to get filled? Even money, give it away. Continue to be that fountain. So I got this guy that's out of work right now that needs some money, and he's planting grass at my house right now because he needs some money to buy a tire. So I'm going to bless and continue to be this fountain and give, and then it's going to all come back to me because I know I reap what I sow.
Yes.
Oh, and I got to give another plug for a book just about healing, The Four Agreements.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've read that one.
Four Agreements.
No. Oh, it's one of the best books on healing and how to take care of yourself. I recommend that to anybody. So if you haven't read that one, check it out. It's it's very, very powerful.
Don Miguel Ruiz.
Yes.
Don Miguel Ruiz. Okay. Yeah.
And that's almost how this podcast got started. She was doing like little book reviews. For Tori was doing on YouTube. And I was like, hey, we should do a podcast. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So big time. Check out that book. Anybody, it'll change your life if you follow and you do what it says in the book. And one of the biggest things is keeping your word and your integrity. So.
That's great.
Anyway, thank you very much. Yes. We're going to be looking at your Facebook. And if you get married and everything works out, can you come back on?
Yes, of course.
Cool. Yeah, and we can get like a little update and the whole thing. Oh, I would love that.
And then invite us to the wedding.
Invite us to the wedding. Yes. And if it's in Hawaii, and hopefully he's rich enough to fly us all out there, manifest that. That he's like, you know what? Write it down in your journal. He's going to be able to fly. We could podcast it live.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
We're going to Hawaii, guys. This is the girl that can make it happen. She manifests.
You know what? And I have to say, he's a great manifester.
Really?
I'm learning a lot from him. He's a great manifester.
It's a good sign.
Wow, that's cool. So like, there's like you're like double trouble, huh? Like a little tag team.
Oh man, he's pretty awesome when it comes to manifesting. So he manifested himself a Tesla. He did, and the story behind that was actually
I want a Tesla.
Yeah.
You're being for reals.
I'm being for reals. Like when he was telling me about before even he got the Tesla and how he was manifesting this car, what he said something very powerful about how he waited in line, even though people at work or wherever did not really believe that he was going to manifest this Tesla. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly how he said it. I have it written down. And it had so much conviction within himself that he believed that this was possible.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's a great manifester.
That's one of the things on my list is a Tesla.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, awesome. And actually, yesterday, mm-hmm. I had to pick up a client of mine. He's a life coach, Joshua Schaubach, and I picked him up, mm-hmm. and he came into town, and we went over to get coffee, and he was like, okay, pick me up at the Tesla charging station, like always. He has a Tesla, yes. So I got to see one yesterday and be right next to one, and cool. It's like one day, and he manifested that one.
That's
just
awesome.
The same, yeah. Yeah, he believed it, and just the same way, and it's possible. So that, there is. You go. That's pretty awesome to hear. So. And I got a little picture of, I actually love Tesla, and so does she, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we both love
cool.
Tesla as well, and I got a little picture of Tesla in my house, and he's a guy that greatly manifested things as well. So if you don't yes. know about the actual Tesla, but mm-hmm. anyway, I'm boring out over here.
Oh, no.
But thank you very much for yes. coming on. I appreciate you, everything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Continue on and in faith and just let them know that, yeah. hey, the quality guys are out there. Speak life into them. Be their cheerleader, and yes. they will reap what they sow. They will get back whatever they put out.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love
well,
it.
Thank you very much. This has been episode something.
Yes.
Everybody, I think it's 10. I'm pretty sure it's 10.
Yeah,
10. Yeah, 10. Everybody's shaking their head. This has been episode 10 of the Are We Where Yet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Those really help out. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. We'll be on SoundCloud soon enough. So anyway, thank you guys. And until next time, goodbye.